This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning. It's chilly outside. There's no doubt about it, but I don't think you're going to have any trouble with your drive this morning if you're just waking up. If you're already on the road, you know that. Kim and I were in here at 4 this morning, and I was doing full highway speeds. I mean, it wasn't. I didn't encounter any black ice, none of that stuff. So it looks like we dodged a bullet yesterday, and most of the media urologists were wrong, it does appear. I think Dave Murray probably came the closest yesterday morning. He told us maybe 1 or 2 inches. Have to watch out for the ice, depending on how much falls.
Did you just say a meteorologist?
I did.
Is that a combination between a meteorologist and a urologist? What does that look like?
I'm glad you caught that. I've, for many years, listened to a host on WLW in Cincinnati who used to jokingly refer to them as media urologists. So,
well, I had to call you out on that. You can always count on me to call you out on things,
Mark. That's okay. Thank you for catching that. Just a joke. But anyway, I think Murray was closest. I have to be honest. I really do. I think of the ones that were forecasting yesterday, even the highway department had signs warning you to stay off the roads. And I drove all afternoon, and I didn't encounter any problems. It was a little slushy at one point, but that was really about it. So good news that they were wrong. That's the best news of all, for sure. Coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream in just a couple of minutes and find out a little bit more about this court decision, which is really a big win for Donald Trump when it comes to the buyouts of federal employees. Plus, I want to ask her about Pam Bondi, the new attorney general, announcing yesterday she's taking action against officials in the state of New York for accommodating illegal aliens and resulting in the death of American citizens. Long overdue. We finally have somebody in the job who understands that they need to protect Americans, and I'm anxious to hear what Shannon Bream thinks about all of that coming up. Griff Jenkins, after that, he'll follow us. He'll get to us here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll find out what he's covering today up in Washington, D.C. All of that is coming up in just a couple of minutes. First, though, I want to get to the shortlist, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
I don't want to cross my fingers. I think Democrats should join the club and then have more credibility to actually raise the alarm about constitutional issues. Right now, it's the boy who cried wolf.
Ooh, yeah, that's a Democrat, Dean Phillips there. He ran for president, if you'll remember, against Joe Biden. The Democrats tried to keep him off ballots and everything in primaries. And, of course, he didn't have a chance, but he's still speaking out about the point of view they're taking on cutting government waste.
How soon do you want the Department of Education to be closed?
Oh, I'd like it to be closed immediately. Look, the Department of Education's a big con job.
It is. It is indeed. In fact, I don't know, and some people might take this as a negative, but I was raised without a Department of Education, and I'm doing just fine. You will too.
Do you think calling Elon Musk a dick is effective messaging for confronting what is a potentially irreversible transformation of the U.S. government?
Well, he is a dick.
Robert Garcia, a congressman, yesterday in this transparency hearing, and then Kate Baldwin felt necessary to repeat the word to him when she had him on TV. When you have to resort to name-calling, I would argue you've lost the argument.
My name in drag is Dee Dee Delight. And my name out of drag is Dewey Cosgrove-Atienza.
Laddie LaRouge, he, they, in drag, District 3.
My legal name is Olivia D'Ambrosio.
So I'm going to tell a funny story on myself here, Kim, from back from my my news anchoring days. When I first moved here, and I'm gonna quiz Carl Middleman on this because he'll know the answer. When I first moved here, I was anchoring the weekend newscast at Channel 4, and we had a story about the Blues training camp, Carl Middleman,
yes,
which used to be held in which Northeast city?
Well, there were several. There was Worcester.
Yes, indeed. And the reason I bring that up is that this story is out of Worcester, Massachusetts. But I'd never seen that word before. I'd seen the word Worcestershire, which is the sauce I would put on my steak sometimes.
That's a really hard word to say. I don't think I've ever actually known
Worcester.
How do you actually pronounce that word?
Worcestershire.
It is. Is it
Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire.
How I've always heard it.
I've always pronounced it Worcestershire sauce. I don't know if that's
someone tell
it
us
or
how
not,
you
but
correctly
pronounce
it.
Regardless,
if we were online.
I'm anchoring the weekend news, and the Blues had just reported to training camp in Worcester, Massachusetts. This is how I read it on the air, right? And we get into the break, and the phone rings on the set. They used to have a phone right behind the set, and I could hear it buzzing back there in the break, and I pick it up, and it's my news director, who grew up in Massachusetts, reminding me that it's pronounced Worcester. And I'm like, who the hell would know that looking at that word?
Well,
like Worcester.
Where's your sports guy? Did you not have a sports guy?
Well, it was weekend. It was the weekend, okay. And maybe he was off. I don't remember.
Did you have to read that cold?
No, I didn't read it cold. I just assumed I just assumed that's how it was pronounced.
That's a fair assumption. The only reason I know that is because my parents grew up in that area. But there's so many words. Like I told you, my whole mishap where it was breaking news and I had to read it cold. Where those three women out of Cincinnati, I think it was, were freed after being held in captivity for years by some creep in his basement or something, and it was Amanda DeJesus. Well, I can't even believe I did this, but embarrassingly, I said Amanda.
Did Jesus,
and I was so embarrassed. That's not even the worst. I've said some really embarrassing things where the newsroom has been flooded with calls and emails. My news director has called me during breaks and been like, no, did you really just say that?
That's like a Les Nessman calling it a Chihuahua, right?
Chihuahua.
WKRP in Cincinnati. Yeah. All those years ago. Anyway, the only reason I bring this up is that the soundbite you heard there at the end with all the people telling you their pronouns and all that was at a city council meeting in Worcester, Massachusetts yesterday. And I'm going to let you listen to this again. It goes on for, I'll just pick it up where I stopped here. Hang on.
Public name is Livy Scanlon. My wife and I own a home in the Canal District.
I speak as someone who is always misgendered, like all the time. People refer to me as sir when I prefer to be referred to as ma'am. I speak as someone who is afraid to use public toilets. I speak as someone who is a member of this community and is a queer person.
You have to imagine being me and my wife, fearing that our marriage rights will be stripped away at any moment.
Please. I got to stop it there. This is the insanity that the city council had to listen to. All of these people with purple hair and nose rings talking about the fact that they now stay in their homes in fear that Donald Trump is going to somehow strip them of their right to exist, which nobody ever said anywhere, not even once. But the city council is so woke in Worcester, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. that last night they officially declared it is now a sanctuary city
oh my
for anybody with an alphabet name after their
their pronouns.
Well, I prefer LGBTQ. To be called Your Majesty, but that doesn't mean I can expect everyone else to call me Your Majesty.
Yeah.
But you know who else was going off about this trans rights, yada, 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 was Tampon Tim Walz's daughter.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Man, she's really been going off on social media about how dare you, you're taking away the rights and these people, Trump, that you think you're protecting, you're not really protecting them. Like, I assume she's referring to the women, the actual biological women in sports.
Maybe.
And protecting us from having to see men completely naked in the locker room. I'm sorry, how is this not protecting women?
There was a time when a mental health diagnosis would be due right about then, but we're well past that, I'm afraid. All right, coming up, Shannon Bream. We'll get her thoughts on a couple of legal situations yesterday. One, Pam Bondi going after the governor of New York over allowing illegal aliens to drive, and they then killed an American citizen. Finally, we'll see what Shannon thinks coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're here today because we have filed charges against the state of New York. We have filed charges against Kathy Hochul. We have filed charges against Letitia James and Mark Schroeder, who is with DMV. This is a new DOJ, and we are taking steps to protect Americans, American citizens, and angel moms, like the mom standing right behind me, who you're going to hear from in a moment. New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today.
Shannon is gonna hurt.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday.
Great to have Shannon back with us this morning. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about Pam Bondi going after Kathy Hochul up in New York and Letitia James? Were you surprised by that yesterday?
Well, listen, the executive order, if you'll remember, that the president signed very early on, I mean, I feel like in the first couple of days, talked about the fact that not only were they going to try to go after funding for any localities and states that impeded their work in these ICE raids and deportation, there's language in that executive order that says, and we may go after these officials with criminal or civil penalties if they're violating the law when it comes to immigration. So, listen, she's official. She got sworn in, and she's not wasting time making good on that executive order.
Well, it's for a past offense, though, isn't it? I mean, they had an angel mom there who lost her child to an illegal alien with a driver's license in New York.
Yeah, and my understanding is the measures that were filed yesterday, these lawsuits that were filed, they're civil in nature. They're going after this green light law that they have in New York that shields people who are there or in the country illegally. And what the Justice Department is asking is for that law to be, you know, essentially obliterated, saying wow. that it's in conflict with federal immigration law and that you can't be giving these kinds of protections to people who are in the country illegally because it disrupts what the feds have the power to do, which is to regulate illegal and legal immigration.
How are these illegals even getting these driver's licenses? Because we had an illegal not too long ago here in the city of St. Louis who hit and killed a local police officer. You know, they have these jobs. I know, mm-hmm. you know, ICE has been going to some of the restaurants and raiding them and all these people are worried. Well, how are they even getting to those jobs if they don't even have legal status?
Yeah, well, I feel like across the country, that's a question that so many communities will have to ask themselves. Because also, if your local economy becomes dependent on having people who are here, not legally, they're probably being exploited. Businesses, you know, there's been this question about E-Verify, something that will require all businesses, yes. employers across the country to use this system that would verify somebody's legal status. And it's been interesting to me here in Washington, every time that's part of an immigration package, it is really disregarded. And I'm saying by people on both sides of the aisle who don't want that to be a part of the the whole compliance program. But to me, as an everyday American, it doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't you want E-Verify so you understand how people are getting jobs, whether their status is being checked? If you hold an employer responsible, that's going to have a lot more weight than holding somebody responsible who's here illegally, who can evade, who can leave and come back in the country if they need to. Why not include the employer part of that plan? But it is a really tough sell on Capitol Hill for some reason.
It's true, Shannon, and maybe there's a chance it'll get some traction now, but it's often groups like the Chamber of Commerce that lobby right. against that, right?
It is. I mean, some of these business interest groups that have yeah. really strong lobbying interests here, very powerful in Washington.
It's true. I have encouraged our Secretary of State and others here to push for E-Verify for voter registration. It's a no-brainer. I mean, why would you not run somebody through that system just to make sure they're legal and they're not just checking a box mm-hmm. saying that they're a legal citizen? I don't know.
Yeah, and every time you ask that question, why wouldn't we be for E-Verify, especially if it's going to protect people, it would protect employers against, you know, getting entangled in illegal issues as well. There's always, well, the compliance is so expensive and the program wouldn't be perfect and people would still slip through. As you know there, it doesn't exist yet.
It's true. So the deadline was yesterday at 7 p.m. Eastern, I believe, for people to take the president up on his buyout. And he got some good news from a federal judge yesterday, right?
He did. So a federal judge said that program can move forward. You know, some of what he's done is tied up in injunctions and court battles, and some of this is going to really take time to play out. Which cases end up at the Supreme Court? That's going to be another big question. But for yesterday, yeah, a federal judge said that program can move forward. The federal government, the Trump administration says we're going to make good on this. Last numbers we heard, 65,000 or more who have actually taken the deal. And the White House says, good, we're glad you took it. We're going to make good on it. And take it to the bank.
Wow. We're talking to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. I was watching the coverage this morning, of course, of Tulsi Gabbard being sworn in by Pam Bondi. It's RFK's votes this morning, right?
Yes, RFK goes to a vote today. Brooke Rollins, also for Ag Secretary, will head to a vote this afternoon. But, I mean, this RFK one is, since the minute his name was announced, there have been so many dips and turns on this roller coaster ride. But picking up the votes of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski almost guarantees, absent some surprises today, that he will get across that finish line. Of course, we're all watching to see what Mitch McConnell does after the vote on Tulsi Gabbard. But it looks like RFK has the votes that he needs.
Wow. Wow. You know, I was a little surprised. Didn't Tulsi Gabbard leave the Democratic Party over the way they treated Bernie Sanders? And then Sanders ended up voting against her yesterday.
Yeah, I think that they, when it comes to national security and surveillance and all kinds of things, I think that at the end of the day, Bernie Sanders was not willing or ready to go where Tulsi Gabbard is planning to go as DNI. So, what an arc of a political career that we've seen with Tulsi Gabbard. And listen, she had big, big skeptics within Democrats and Republicans for this particular position. And she did multiple meetings with some of these senators who were really concerned about her positions on Edward Snowden and Syria and Putin and all kinds of things. But there was enough of a charm offensive and deep conversations that some of her toughest skeptics said, all right, we're going to keep a really close eye on what she's doing, but we feel like the president gets this nominee.
Shannon, I just have to ask you, like, I watched some of your Super Bowl coverage. You ever just pinch yourself and think, like, wow, this is fantastic. I got to come down and see the game and do all this other stuff.
Every single day. It is never lost on me that a kid who grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, wearing her cousin's hand-me-downs, gets to go do all this cool stuff, and I'm eternally grateful. And yes, pinch myself on the regular.
I'll bet. What's coming up Sunday?
So we do have a couple of people locked in. I don't know that I can tell you just yet, but somebody new, big name from the Trump administration, is with us on Sunday. And we have a Democrat senator who has been a very vocal critic of all that's gone on so far to be our counter on the other side. And so we'll have you fair and balanced on Sunday.
We'll be watching. Shannon, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. See you later. Shannon Bream there. You, of course, you can listen to Fox News Sunday right here on 97.1 FM Talk on the radio at about 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Coming up, where in the world is our buddy Griff Jenkins? I wonder if they sent him back to the border yet. We'll be back in just a minute.
By definition, are we in a constitutional crisis?
Dangerously close to a constitutional crisis.
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 I think this is the most serious constitutional crisis the country has faced.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, buddy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I got home late last night from being in Panama and got the day off. I got a honeydew list and a bored dog that missed me, but nothing would stop me from calling into the Mark Cox Show.
Well,
why? Because, A, I love this show, you and Kim, but also we're on, obviously, with this constitutional crisis, we're on the precipice of societal collapse, and I just feel like I should get up and do something about it.
All right. So you were you down in Panama monitoring the return flight of some migrants, or were you surfing?
No, I wish I was surfing, man. Oh, my gosh. It's gorgeous down there, and I understand there's great waves, although I've never gotten to surf it. I was down there doing soon we'll drop a one-hour special on Fox Nation. I'll do a little reporting on the Panama Canal. You know,
nice.
People in Panama are freaking out. And so we went down there, interviewed the director of the Panama Canal, and the way it works when that was set up, the Panamanian authority would take control of the canal. The guy that's in control of the canal is sort of a dual head of the country with the president, because he has autonomous control over that canal. And so we interviewed him, and he had a lot of good things to say. He's clearly rattled about this takeover. But I went out on a boat, and first of all, we're in the canal watching this, marvel. I mean, engineering marvel that fundamentally changed global commerce, particularly for the U.S., being able to cut through Central America, connecting the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean. But as the boat went, the first boat goes through the canal, And we're standing there watching this massive container ship, and it's really amazing to see the locks rise and low and get the boat through, which barely fits in the actual canal itself. And as they go by, I see, like, workers on the boat. I'm like, hey, hey, where are you from? And guess what? They all said.
China.
China! Ah! And we're going to air that. And there's a port just beyond the canal that is, it's not owned by the Chinese, but Panama leases it essentially to them, so they have total control of it. And it doesn't control the canal, but it is a indication of just a dominance that the Chinese influence has on the shipping lines and the shipping industry. And so it's going to be good stuff.
Wow. I mean, that's fascinating to me. Are they really nervous about Trump following through on his threat to take control over it again? I mean, as I read the actual treaty that was signed, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, the U.S. would have that right to come back in.
Yeah, listen, they have said, in my talking to them, they said, look, as the treaty, you know, that was signed under the Carter administration in 77, but the transition didn't go down until 1999, they said, of course, if there is a threat to the canal, we would hope that the U.S., since they are 70% of the business that goes through there, would jump right in to help the conflict. But that there's no conflict right now, and the difference is that Trump says that, A, they're not upholding their full neutrality in some way favoring China, and, B, he wants to renegotiate the fact that you've got to pay roughly $200,000 every time a ship goes through there. And
wow.
He thinks the U.S. shouldn't be paid. And so the Panamanian officials didn't back down at all from the tough questions, you know, about Chinese influence and then also about Trump. And basically their takeaway was, listen, we look forward to sitting down, but we need to get to a good agreement on what it is that President Trump wants, because, you know, as they said, and I think they're right, to be honest, Panama is America's strongest ally in Latin America. And so should Trump, you know, cause financial trouble there, they're worried that the country could destabilize. And those of us old enough to remember, it wasn't that long ago when, you know, Manuel Noriega was in charge, and it was a far less strong ally for us.
Wow.
Hey, Griff, have you been subjected to have to cover any of the protests, specifically from the Democrats like Maxine Waters, who, man, from the sound bites we've been playing, it's like your ears bleed because they're just screaming into the microphone and dropping F-bombs.
You know, it's unbelievable. Maxine Waters is a special individual in her own right. And I was anchoring before I went to Panama this past weekend. I was anchoring Fox and Friends weekend, and we were talking a lot about that and playing that tape ad nauseum. And what I said, and I have the best daughters in the entire world, but I think that guy has had teenage children because he didn't bat an eye. He got a 11 out of 10 on a, I don't care what you yell in my face, Maxine Waters. That guard had the stoicism of literally a historical monument. But at the end of the day, you saw yesterday Democrats gathered and were singing some sort of song. It was anti-Elon Musk, and you saw a court rule that, you know, the buyout, federal worker buyout program could go forward. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the Democrats are going to have to find some way to change their messaging. And this is just an observation, not an opinion, just an observation based on what Democrat friends of mine that have been strategists going all the way back to the Clinton years told me. One on the weekend said, we have got to find a way to lean into the smaller government, the stuff that Bill Clinton and Al Gore talked about and wanted to accomplish going all the way back. We've got to find a way to change our messaging that's not just all anti-Trump in anything he does, because by and large, Democrats, even liberal voters, are not going to support just wasting American tax dollars. Yeah. Now, I understand trying to rein in Musk because Trump's literally brought him to Washington like a bulldog and let him off the leash. But at the same time, it's a losing message for Democrats in these protests you see from Maxine Waters and Elizabeth Warren, because the American people don't want a bloated, wasteful, bureaucratic government.
You know, I got to go back to the Panama thing for a minute. You worked for a number of years with Ollie North, didn't you?
I did. I started at Fox in 2000. I started his radio show in the 90s. That's my radio background. My heart was always going to be with talk radio, Common Sense Radio with Ollie North.
Well, he had. Did he still have any connections down there in Panama? Did he help you out at all?
No. I mean, he didn't help me with this one. In there's certain countries he still can't go back to.
Oh, I'll bet.
Warrant for his arrest. But, you know, it is fascinating. I'll tell you one thing, since you're interested, Mark, and this is a valid point. I'd gone to Panama, I guess, 3 years ago, if you remember. I think I may have even called in with you guys from the Darien Gap. I was the first, American journalist to go into that treacherous jungle where the massive flow of migrants come up to South America, Colombia, certainly the path that most of these Venezuelans have taken, through the Darien Gap into Panama and made their way to the U.S., to our southern border.
Right.
But Panama became a willing partner and has helped, even under the Biden years, and certainly off to a strong start now under the Trump years, to try and harden that border and slow things at that Darien Gap. But when I was there, obviously it was a crisis. Well, fast forward to when I was talking to the Panamanian officials this time, and they said, one wrinkle in this is if whatever Trump and whatever happens does lead to a destabilization of Panama, all of a sudden you're going to have increased migrants from Panama trying to flee our own country because situation will be, terrible and desperate, and people will want to get out, and guess where they're going to head? To the U.S.
That's true. Very true. Hey, so when can we see that? Is it a Fox Nation thing, or is it going to be airing?
It's a Fox Nation thing that should air. I think they're setting about a week to 10 days to launch that. I think February 20-something. Yeah. And we'll definitely talk about it. But I'm trying to get some clips turning, maybe do a little bit of reporting on it this weekend. I'll be in for the big weekend show. So I'm hoping to put it on there, because unlike some of the other things, Greenland, Trump's going to take Greenland, Gaza, all this other stuff, I think Panama is definitely going to happen. And it should, because ultimately America, whether you want to hear it or not, we've been asleep at the wheel for more than two decades in terms of allowing China to get ahead of us. And so this certainly puts a spotlight on that. And I think it's going to have far-reaching implications even beyond the Panama Canal, but also the global shipping dominance that China has right now.
Amen. So, Griff, when we put the show up live on Facebook and Twitter and X and all that, we've gotten in the habit of putting up a picture of whoever our guest is. So we've got a nice, looks like a Fox News photo of you in your suit and everything. I think what you need to do is text me a picture of yourself on your surfboard, and I want to put that up there the next time.
That's coming 10 seconds after you hang up.
Excellent. So we'll have it ready for next week. How about that?
That sounds great, man. Let's do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Griff. Now, all right, we're back in just a minute. Great music, Carl.
Do you think that calling Elon Musk a dick is effective messaging for confronting what is a potentially irreversible transformation of the U.S. government?
Well, he is a dick.
That's the soundbite of the day. I don't normally always do one of those, but I've had to play that throughout the morning. And Carl and I both laugh every time we hear it. Getting a television news anchor to repeat that word, just like we did the other day with Dana Bash when she had to describe Elon Musk's new Twitter handle, right? As Harry, you know what. So here's the thing. That's where they've devolved to. It's juvenile, but it's funny in a certain way. But it's juvenile to understand that's what they've devolved to. They can't do anything else with Elon Musk other than call him nicknames. Like, they're calling him names, right? When you start cussing at somebody, you've lost the argument, the way I generally look at that. But at least those are not creative names. I saw this story, Kim. I meant to get to it yesterday, and I never did. They have released the vanity plates rejected in the state of Missouri in 2024. It's down. The good news is the ones they had to reject are down from 2023. They only rejected 379 custom license plates last year compared to almost 500 in 2023. So they've got a list of some of the ones that that they rejected, and I don't agree with it. I don't understand why they rejected some of them. They must have had their reasons for it. But the department rule says they will deny plates that are obscene, profane, patently offensive, or contemptuous of a racial or ethnic group, or offensive to good taste or decency and would present an unreasonable danger to the health or safety of the applicant. I guess they're afraid you're going to put something on there and get shot. I don't know that. Some of these, because of FCC rules, I cannot repeat on the radio.
You can't you spell them out, Mark?
I don't know. Do you think I could spell some of them out? Maybe the one turned down the most was some take on the Hawk Tua girl. Like there must be. I went through and highlighted some of these that I thought I could get away with talking about, and a whole bunch of them, like four or five of them in a row, were something to do with Hawk Tua. Hawk Tua. They were trying to sneak this past him, I guess, somehow. But it didn't.
So work. Dumb.
It is. So here's one. BGBOOB.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shocker, that was declined.
That was declined. M-U-R-D-R. Murder. Murder, right? B-M-A-H-O-E.
Sure.
People are...
Mark, you're spelling creative. Right now. It's not even 9 a.m. I feel like I have to write this out.
Sorry. Bimaho, I guess, is what...
I was also just making you have to say it.
Yeah. thank you.
Good job, Kim.
F-Y-R-S-L-F. As you drive wow. by, yeah, these are wow. all. Somebody's in a good mood when they're doing these. DSZNTZ.
Oh my gosh! Well, yeah. somebody yeah. did run for president with that.
That yeah, there
that
you go.
Name, and now you have Elon Musk with the official name on X.
Exactly,
similar to that.
D's nuts. Got poo is on there.
Was there a question mark at the end of that? Can you do that for a license plate?
No. These were all rejected.
They should allow punctuation.
BAK. TFO. So if you're tired of people tailgating you, you might want them to back TFO, right? I guess that was the point, but they said no on those. A lot of these have the F word in them that they weren't ever going to get through. You had to, you'd almost have to know that.
Without a C or without a K?
Correct. One said Glock D, like it had a gun name in it, and I guess they rejected it for that reason. Spanked, S-P-A-N-K-T. Pimp for You is okay. another one that got rejected by the state of Missouri. F it got rejected by the state of Missouri for these. And here's another one. I thought this was pretty funny. B1GJEW. So in other words, they're replacing the one for an I, and it would have said Big Jew on it. Now, why would you, if somebody wants to put that in their license plate, why would you care? You're clearly referring to yourself and not somebody else. I don't know.
The weird license plates are when they're so confusing. I'm sitting there and behind you trying to figure it out. I'm just annoyed. Like, at least make it clear.
That's a fun game for sure. All right, we're out of time for the day. Kill Meat up next. Annie and Mark in a little later today. We'll see you back tomorrow morning, Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Valentine's Day.
Get more at 971talk.com.